Hi, I'm Larry Kortkamp, and this is BizPoints TV, the show that introduces you to new and trending business topics, smart technologies, and the people that are making an impact in our local communities. We've got a great show for you today, and we'll be back in just a minute to get it started.
Create a stronger and more dynamic business. Larry Kortkamp, founding partner at the Kortkamp Group, talks with industry insiders about trending topics moving the needle for local business today. Here's your host, Larry Kortkamp.
Welcome back. Today, our guest is John Chester, the wild man on podcasting. John has his own show here on the OBBM network. It's called The Power of the Positive Playlist. Welcome to the program today, John.
Larry, thank you. It's a real honor to be here. You have a great show, too. I enjoy BizPoint TV.
Thanks for saying that. Your job is done.
Okay. Well, thanks, folks. Goodbye.
So you're on today because we're actually going to talk about John Chester's business of a podcast, for one, because that's not necessarily your trade. You are a...
I'm a creative. I'm a music therapist.
A therapist by nature.
And they have their own business, so to speak. Anybody who's going to, you know, go and do anything, you have to have a degree of business if you want to make money to leverage it for that.
So typically, you would have a practice that would do that. So what prompted to take the shingle down and put it on a podcast instead?
Well, let's see. I think it was for a larger reach. I mean, even today, and I've been a music therapist for almost 30 years, and music therapy has been around since the 50s as far as professional organizations, and it's been around as far as a practice since World War I, when they brought harps into recovery units for shell shock. And you read about it in the Bible when there was this guy named David that would bring a harp into the king's room to play for him to soothe the spirits. So music therapy's been around forever. But I still have to say, people say, well, so what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a music therapist. And they kind of look at me like I hit them with a 2x4, like, well, what's that? So you just go in and, you know, yodel over them or something? So I think it was to get the reach out more, because doing my own thing was great, and I love meeting people one-to-one, but people still aren't getting it. They don't know that there is this adjunct therapy to the other important therapies like physical and occupational and speech to help them with rehab, to help them with goals, to help them with their business.
And I must confess, I was one of them until I met you. I really thought of music being therapeutic. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it made me feel good. It perked up my spirits, or I used it when I was down or sad or whatever that happened to be. But I never thought of it as a true profession of music therapy until I met you.
And that's the normal perception that people have about it, because this business is couched in the performing arts. So they don't often think of it as a nuts and bolts therapy, which is a kind of an engineering skill, because it's so creative. So the two seem to mix like oil and water, and they can't get their heads around it.
Now, I know in my show, because I obviously have mine as well, and it's more of a two-person.
How's that going?
More of a two-person act for me, right? So I'm actually interviewing typically a business that's telling us about their business, and we're introducing that business to the clients, which are our audience, right? Typically of small business owners. But in yours, and I know you've gone through a couple of incarnations of your show as well, you started off doing something similar to this, but now you're moving towards a different format, maybe more of an instructional one.
Yeah, and that's not to say I won't have other people. I've already got two people lined up for the next couple of 3 months that are going to come in and speak, because they have certain skills that I want to showcase. But a lot of it also is just, I'm in a teaching mode, because what I'm really doing now, people need to know about how music treats them. And this is my normal mantra. I say most people consciously listen to music as entertainment, but some subconsciously they do it as a drug. And they have to be aware of how they're treating themselves, how they're being treated, and how they're really healing or ripping themselves up by their music choices. And that's not being taught. And because people don't want to think that, and I always pick on this song, they don't want to think that Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog is a bad song. It's not. It's really not. But if it brings up a caustic memory, then it's a very damaging thing. So there's a process to figuring out your playlist, enough so to where you could start having control of your life instead of letting in something that's really doing more harm.
And I had people tell me, why are you having Mr. Chester on your show? Because yours is a business-related show, but they really...
Well, the money was good.
The money was great, but they missed the point, which is music really plays a big part of business in a lot of different atmospheres. So if we walk into a department store, mm-hmm. we want the music to be something that's going to stimulate us to make a purchase or stimulate us to stick around and stay there for a lengthy period of time. If I have workers and I've been in a situation where the work might be drudgery or it mm-hmm. might be repetitious, then I want some type of music theme behind that's going to encourage them to be enthusiastic, right? To be engaged in their work, maybe not go to sleep. Commuters on trains, on planes.
Right.
We've heard elevator music since the day we were born. So business and music have had a relationship.
They do.
For a long time.
And it's to manipulate people, and it's normally a nefarious term, but it's to motivate.
You can actually say that because we're not on mainstream.
Okay, thank you. You're right.
So, yes.
God bless the OBBM. That's so the reality is it does manipulate people for a certain performance level. Be it to get a high traffic area to keep people to move through, like if they're at a restaurant, certain music. You notice lately that music is too loud in most restaurants. Why? They want faster turnover. So, and other places they play quieter music, slow you down so that you enjoy the experience. And it's normally a higher end restaurant. So you spend more money with the desserts and all that kind of stuff. So there is a think about it that gets people's emotions involved in their purchases. When you, again, you mentioned going to stores, there's the science behind the music they listen to and the income. For example, there's a couple of studies. One I just love is about it was a wine department at a store, and they showed that if they played French music, that people bought French wine and also French bread and some types of hors d'oeuvres because it's this romance type of thing. Music manipulated that. Also, on a completely different story, a study that they had this five-day period of warehouse work. And many years ago, I used to do warehouse work. And day one, they played rock and roll, say old classic, and then it was new rock and roll, and there was country, and there was jazz, and other types of music. And they found out that on the day they played country, and I like country, so don't come at me, please. But they found that the day that the warehouse workers played country on the PA system, less work got done consistently. Why? It's the style of music. It's
they
slower tempo,
themselves.
Different chord progressions, and the topics were different.
I was going to say, you just mentioned a few technical terms in there. So it's not just... It is truly the science of music, isn't it? It's not just whether a song is peppy or happy. There's actually some really in-depth nuance that goes into whether a song does X or does Y.
Absolutely, because it's called theory. And music theory is the architecture of music, how it's built. And I went to school late in life. I was 30 when I went back and had to learn music theory, which is, again, how it's built. There's major chords, there's modes, there's progressions, there's resolution, there's tension, there's dissonance, all these types. And then the tempo, the meter, there's at least five parts to a song. Some say seven, but there's about five parts that include those things that I mentioned. You put those into a recipe of how a song is built, and it impacts the human body a certain way. When it comes to a song, two parts impact you, but the one that impacts you the most is the music itself, not the lyrics. People say, oh, the lyrics touch me. Yeah, they do. But what really hits you is David Gilmour's guitar solo in Comfortably Numb. That's what really hits you. It's the music every time.
So it truly is about the beat.
Gosh, Larry.
I got to do a couple of those.
That
but,
one hurt.
But really what I'm interested in, and we're going to talk more about this in our next segment, is really you being able to take what you do to a different platform to impact more people mm-hmm. on doing that. And we'll be back to do that with John Chester in just a minute after a word from our sponsors.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interests, and we never will be. The Epoch Times is a non-partisan media. That means we don't stand for any political party. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. We'd love to have you on board.
When it's time to perform, it's too late to practice. First Safety Training in DFW supports local communities and churches through firearms training and nonviolent dispute resolution training. Understand the laws related to weapons and deadly force, handgun use and safety, and proper storage practices. A trained and licensed gun-carrying citizen will react quicker to protect themselves and others. Call 214-808-9757 to schedule your introduction to handguns, license to carry, active shooter, church security, and survival training. Be prepared for the best possible outcome of a weaponized attack. Make sure the law is on your side in the event deadly force is necessary. Call 214-808-9757 and work with former law enforcement trainers and range officers. Meet all municipal, county, state, and federal regulations. Understand your gun and how to care for it properly. Call First Safety Training at 214-808-9757 today.
Hi, and we're back today talking with John Chester, The Power of a Positive Playlist. John, when we left, we were talking about you and your podcast some more, and why this is a powerful tool for you to be able to actually do some instruction.
Yeah, and that is because I've worked in psych for over 27 years. I heard people talk about the music they listened to, psych patients talk about the music, and it was often when I would talk to them about what they're going through, they would quote lines to songs. And they would be speaking this type of darkness over themselves. You know, well, you know, I've got this going on in my life, and I got this, and my mom always said this. And at times they're just pulling, because of a social skill or lack of it, they're pulling these lines out because it's convenient. And so not only do they hear it, but now they're verbalizing it and speaking it over their life. If I say to you, Larry, you're this kind of loser, which you're not, or you're this negative thing or whatever, it's one thing to hear it. And if you're socially intact, emotionally intact, you go, well, just John doesn't understand me. But if you start vocalizing it over yourself, that's a totally different thing.
And we actually talk to small business owners. Small business owners are in a fight all the time, right? They're trying to be successful. They're trying to do everything a lot by themselves. Part of the reason why the coaching industry is what it is because people need to know how to do things better than the way they do them now. They need instruction on how to make their businesses more efficient, how to use their employees better. But it is more about personal improvement as well. And this music involvement in their life, if they're doing one thing here, but then going home and maybe poisoning that goal or that forward momentum someplace else using the wrong, they didn't even realize what they were doing in a different format.
Exactly. So if you had a playlist, so to speak, when you were a younger person.
That would be a great title for your show, Power Button.
Golly, can I copyright that?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I owe you everything. So if I, let's say when you were a teenager, which is when most people's music choice solidifies. It's younger for girls and a year or two older for boys.
Starting at around 11.
And if you're having a traumatic period in that life at that time, you're going to bring that trauma forward in your 20s, 30s, and beyond, because every time you hear whatever that song was or that collection of songs, because you go, oh, if you grew up in the 90s, let's say, oh, you know, Nirvana was awesome and what have you. Okay, well, I'm a 70s guy. Pink Floyd and The Who were awesome to me, as well as the 60s, because I had older sisters, which affects things, so their music comes in. All this said, if you're poisoning your belief system because the negative music and the attachment that they have to your emotions, because music attaches to emotions. It's one thing to just say, I like this song, but if something negative happened, like I remember I was listening to Der Kommissar way back when, and I got pulled over for a ticket. Now every time I hear Der Kommissar, I remember I got pulled over for a ticket. So I don't listen to that song anymore, okay? I've made that choice to get that out of my system. People who are triggered, and I use that word very lightly, when people are triggered by a song and it's an addiction issue, like if they used to use or drink, and to Hank Williams, or again, picking on Pink Floyd, then I'll help them get rid of that playlist, and we start bringing in new stuff. I show them how to bring in new music, where to find it, how to get it into their life as far as live music, maybe even become a musician if they already are a musician, how to leverage that, how to research music, how to build playlists, where to get it from, things like that.
Well, your show is very popular, and I think one of the reasons why, I know a lot about music theory, but I do know a lot about this media that we're in now, and it's podcasting. Podcasting is a very unique animal in the industry because it's creating a very intense relationship between the host and the audience. And all the research shows that they're a very loyal audience. When they develop this relationship, it's intimate, it's on the radio, in your case, you don't have the television component, the video component, it's all an audio relationship. And it gets to be a very close relationship between your audience members, but they're actually in a very welcoming situation to learn. That. They're very open to hearing that.
They're seeking it out themselves.
Exactly.
They could be doing anything, but I've had people tell me they listen when they're cleaning the kitchen or cooking or driving, and that's cool. I mean, and that way you're going along with them in normal life experiences.
So I think you've chosen a very good field for yourself as far as the adaption of what you do into this podcast industry, because I think it's excellent for instruction. And we actually have several of our hosts that have programming on the network that actually are in this. And it's because it's applicable to what we do.
It is.
You ought to consider television, John. I think you have a face for radio, but you really would do very well in this medium as well through other instruction. I do want to get a little bit more into the business side of what you've done here. Obviously, we are susceptible to whims of our environments and modes of the day, people that are left brain and right brain. Do you ever get involved in any of the local, societal discussions in your program? Do you take up common topics, or is it something that's more just theory and instruction?
Well, it has to be really broad spectrum. Like I have a person that a while back was very politically motivated, and that's fine. But they were using their music that they listened to politically motivate them emotionally into a negative way. And that people who were on the other side of their spectrum looking at very darkly. And a lot of it was coming from her music. So we had to shift her music taste enough to where we started to get different thoughts put in, because music speaks to the subconscious. It rarely speaks directly to the conscious. And when it goes to the subconscious, it puts in thoughts there that you may not even know. So, there's political discussions they have. There's business discussions that happen. Helping people with setting goals, for example. You can go online and look for a playlist from everybody from Steve Jobs to Tony Robbins and the regular suspects in motivation. They all posted their playlists and what they like to listen to. You're not going to find a whole lot of sad songs on there. You're not going to find a lot of Tears in My Beer. You're not going to find a lot of user songs. You're not going to find songs that negatively impact emotions. These are normally ones that speak about difficulty and overcoming. Every single one of them. And that's important.
And it's not necessarily about the lyrics, though, as much as you say it's about actually the construction of the song.
Correct.
Not a lot of sharps and flats. Is it a weird...
It's a matter of the tension and release, the dissonance, the percentage of dissonance, which is that kind of part of music you don't really turn to listen to unless it really resolves really nice. You know? When you listen to some songs, sometimes the guitar or whatever instrument that you're kind of picking on, It may have this part that just kind of irritates you, but then near the very end, it resolves. It comes to a harmonious period to where you're going, man, that felt good. You know, it was because it's a journey. Just like any journey, you go on a long hike, you eventually arrive where you want. Whatever journey, including life that you're on, you want harmony at the end of it. You want to sit there and go, man, I finished the race well. If you're doing a job at work, you want to push through. You know it's going to be tough late nights when you're shifting friends even. You have to kind of cut some people out of your life, friends so-called, because they're leading you in different paths. So that's a journey. Music can complement that or it can really antagonize it.
So we mentioned left and right brain individuals. Mm-hmm. They say in hypnosis, it's sometimes easier to hypnotize certain people over other people.
Yeah.
Is it the same thing with music? Are certain people more susceptible to being influenced by their music?
Yes.
And some are less?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And the answer to that is something that if a person's been leaning on their music for enablement, if they are emotionally compromised, if they are very fragile, then they're going to be more responsive to the inputs that music gives. So if you're looking, if you're one of those kinds of people that just has to have music going on, then you're probably one of those people that are leaning on it in a way that may or may not be healthy.
Okay, so that's a nice downer segue into our sponsor shops, but we're going to take a quick break. We'll be more with John Chester when we come back.
Strong business has always been the clear economic indicator. Work Suites in Allen, Texas is just one of 18 locations in DFW and Houston that support your necessary transitions with full service and affordable workspaces for upgrading or downsizing your current workload. You need to be focused on growth. Trust the office experts and helpful staff at Work Suites to take care of everything else, from dedicated phone lines and internet to furnished executive and co-working spaces. The OBBM network has tripled our business in the short months we've been with Work Suites and encourages you to step out boldly, make the tough decisions, and get back to work your way. Your nation depends on it. The OBBM network acknowledges that this is a pivotal time in history, and it is clear the United States of America has been undermined by many of our elected officials for some time now. We want our local business audience to stand strong in the face of what we now understand and to be empowered to grow our businesses on the local level beyond the limitations that have been imposed upon us. We believe it is in our national interest to inspire our communities through strong economic development and, additionally, to hold our elected officials accountable for accurate representation of we the people. For that reason, we encourage you to go to WeStandForFreedom.com to learn about the national Write Your Congressman organization that has been the trusted communication tool for local communities for over 60 years. Learn how your representatives are voting. Understand the laws and regulations under consideration on the state and federal level before they are enacted at the county and city levels. Communicate directly with these officials and stand up for yourself, for by doing so, you will protect the communities you serve from tyrannical rule and unconstitutional reforms. The OBBM Network is the premier voice for local business, and we take that responsibility seriously. The OBBM Network has everything you need to grow and transition your business for success on popular syndicated podcast networks, Roku and other video channels, and the OBBM Network app. We work for you, local business, and we've got your back.
And we're back talking with John Chester, the Power of the Positive playlist. So when we broke, we were getting into some psychological issues of the music that obviously are impactful. But I'm kind of a left brain guy. I'm a business guy, mm-hmm. an entrepreneur. What does this music stuff have to do with me?
Yeah, that's a good point. That left brain, right brain concept. There's people who say they're just creatives, and there are people who say they're business. And they're all business. You've heard that, so-and-so's just all business. And then creative people are undisciplined. But a person who is a mix, an amalgam of both, these are the people that solve problems, okay? Because you'll always hear people when the times get tough, we really screwed the pooch on that one. There's no way we're ever going to be able to fix it. We're just up a creek. Okay, that's nice. How do you plan on getting out? A creative person will go, well, then we need to do A, B, and C. The business person says, I can make A, B, and C happen this way. And together, you build the company, okay? Or you build the relationship. You know, my wife and I are both creatives. She's more the business thing. I'm more the creative. And together, we really build things rather well, but we had to first kind of find that ground. Every person who wants to start anything, be it in business, an engineer really is a creative. They just follow through a different type of structure that lends itself into forms that we can see, be it a building, be it a car, or whatever it is. But they have to have some kind of creative superstructure underneath that says, this will work. And that belief happens way down deep inside that says, I have a voice to say something.
And listening to the proper playlist will help me to stimulate that side of it.
Certainly will.
Yeah?
Certainly will, because you listen to the same old stuff that you were listening to when you were a teenager or when you were depressed or somebody else said, you know, this really sounds like you and it's not what you're, it's not really your voice, then you're going to get the results that you don't want. You're not going to be you. You're going to be what other people think you are or what you think you were way back then. You want to start listening to things that change. If you're in the muck and mire, you're coming out of divorce, you're coming out of a business failure, you're coming out of a lockdown, for Pete's sakes, you want to start having things that make a change. And that means way down in the core. Otherwise, it's superficial. I'm going to listen to Tony for, you know, 21 days and I'll be better. Really? What are you doing about your music? Because that gets into your subconscious. What are you doing about your belief systems? Because music affects your faith. Otherwise, why would we bother wasting 30 minutes in service to sing it? So it impacts us in every way down in the DNA we've even found that music changes our DNA structures by what we listen to.
Very interesting. I know you and I have talked about this before. I would challenge you more on some of these concepts, but I've since you and I have talked so much, I've actually seen some of the evidence in my own life. I didn't think it really made that big of an impact on me, but if I'm doing something that's mundane, a repetitious task, vacuuming or what have you, mm-hmm. and I got the earbuds in, I'm listening to some music, I don't even recognize what I'm listening to, but I find that it takes my mind off, number one, doing that task that I'm doing, but I also find, wow, I'm really thinking during that stuff. I thought I'd be thinking about the music or the task, but it's neither one of those. I'm actually being creative on ideas and concepts and things I would never really think about in another place.
Exactly right. You're engaging the subconscious in such a way that it goes into a creative level. It's not bothered about having the vacuum. It's not bothered about, you know, what is being said, because I know you listen to the Bee Gees. So this kind of thing happens to where your subconscious go, I can take my hands off the wheel. Fine, let's go. And you hit it. So yeah, it is that. It's also the same thing why when they use Pilates, they have music, or when somebody's running, they have music to get their mind off the trauma of it, to get the results of it.
All right. Well, we've done a very small portion of what you actually can do, and you do regularly on your podcast. So tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Well, I've got my information all over the OBBM website. You can find me there. I have my podcast there. Also, I'm at ivorchester.com. I'm at the usual suspects at ivorchester3 at Twitter, Instagram, and follow me, give it a listen, share it. It's being sweet.
It's actually very effective, and I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. It's benefiting a lot of people. We get a lot of response at the network, so it's good that you're on there doing what you do.
And Thank you.
I wish all the success in the world for you.
I appreciate it.
I want to thank everybody for joining us today. It was a great show with John Chester. Look for the next one. Until then, I hope you have a great afternoon, life, whatever you're doing, and we'll see you next time.
To be a guest or request sponsorship information, contact the Court Camp Group at 972-824-8001 today. Production and programming information requests for the OBBM Network should be directed to Offbeat Business Media by calling 214-714-0495 or send your request to info@offbeatbusiness.com. BizPoints TV, podcast, and radio show are produced by Offbeat Business Media for the OBBM Network. Unauthorized use of logos, audio, video, or reproduction is strictly prohibited.